1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. For some reason, they try to scare us with advertising sometimes. I haven't seen it yet. I saw just a snippet of it. But in order to keep people from texting and driving, they're putting out some disturbing videos on TV, I guess, showing the hazards of texting and driving. And the latest one, the ones I'm used to seeing are the ones where the kids are driving down the road, and they never show adults doing it. I think this one they did show adults doing it, possibly. But driving down the road, and they get T-boned. They don't think about it. And I think the newest one is a head-on collision caused by texting and driving. And I spend a lot of time driving and probably doing things I shouldn't do behind the wheel, but I chuckle as I drive down the highways because I see these lighted signboards all the time. And I've asked several people, wonder how many accidents have been caused by people reading those lighted signboards, telling how many people have died this year driving while... And by the way, if you go to Illinois, don't look at their sign, because our sign says like 120 people have died. Illinois is well over 400 the last time I was through there, so don't drive in Illinois. But I wonder, it's just one of those things. But what they're trying to prove to us that is that quickly things can change. When you are going to take a journey, a trip, they have what's called the final boarding call. And they tell you to be there and be ready to board. Your ticket says boarding starts at this point in time, and I think it says takeoff, departure is this time. And they shoot for that departure time. What happens before that departure time? The door closes. Okay, they give a warning. This is the final boarding call for flight whatever to wherever. And you're to be on the plane. They may say that twice or three times, but then eventually somebody like Justin's going to get mean, and he's going to shut that door that leads to the airplane. And then they're going to walk down, they're going to shut the door to the airplane. And the airplane's going to back away, and the airplane's going to take off. And if you're 2 minutes late, you're going to be standing there at the window waving to all your luggage and all your people as they leave. That quickly, you're shut out. Not quite the twinkling out of an eye, but there was enough warning given that that door was going to be closed. I assume they do it on boats, too. I've never been on a boat. I'm not going to get on a boat. Only way I'll get on a boat is if that boat stays anchored to the shore and I can step off right onto land. I'll enjoy that cruise for 5-6 days, but I'm going to be close enough I can step right back onto land. So, you know, I may never worry about the all aboard at that point in time. But not making light of the situation, there will be a final boarding call. We will have a final call that calls us all to judgment. And it warns us in 1 Corinthians 15:52 that it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I don't time how long it takes me to blink. Sometimes I may go a while without blinking. Other times, if I get something in my eye, I may blink a whole bunch of times. But in the twinkling of an eye, to me, that means... I read that as a blink of an eye. That quickly, it's going to be over. The final call will come. And we need to be prepared for that final call. And that's what I'd like to look at a little bit this morning, because I think the scriptures are full of examples warning us of that final boarding call as we go to paradise. Matthew chapter 25, starting in the first verse. Matthew chapter 25, starting in the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered his son to and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Another warning, not quite the twinkling of an eye, but a warning that the Son of Man is coming. He is coming to take us home with Him to glory. Not quite the twinkling of an eye, but yet there's a warning that He is coming, and we are to be prepared. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. When I go to take a journey of vacation, I know when I'm leaving. I know when I'm coming back. We do not know when the Son of Man is coming. We know He is coming, but we do not know the day or the hour. So we are to be prepared. So that door will be closed. Five of them were ready, five of them were not. We want to make sure we're among the five that were ready when the Son of Man came. Matthew chapter 24, starting in 36th verse. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Another warning. We know not when He's coming, but He is coming, if I understand the Scriptures correctly. And there's warnings there that not everybody's going to go. I spent the last 5 days working alongside a gentleman at work. We knew what we were doing. But boy, I would have been really concerned if we'd had that $50,000 combi up in the air, and I'm standing on the lift while he's trying to jockey it onto the, and he decided to take off on me, and I didn't know where he went. I would have been concerned. I think we need to have that same kind of concern, because there will be a time when we may be standing next to somebody and the Son of Man comes, and we want to ask ourselves, will we be the ones taken, or will we be the ones that are left behind? So the Scriptures have warnings that basically tell us that they do tell us that the Son of Man is coming. What we have to do is to be continually preparing ourselves to be ready for that call, final call that comes. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in the first verse. Verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That should give us comfort. If we've been warned that no man knows when the Son of Man cometh, what time of that will be. The comfort comes in what we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, that if we continue to add to our spirituality, if we continue to add diligence to our faith, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, all these good things, if we continue to add those to our lives, we will continue to work and to strive and to be godly in our lives. We will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be called blind and not able to see afar off. We want to be allowed to take that entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in order for us to be ready for the door, that final judgment call, we need to be prepared. Whenever I get ready to go to a class out of town, even on a two-week trip with my, even to Eminence, I'm getting pretty good at packing everything I need into one little bag. Okay? I can do it. But I have to be prepared in order to do it. Now, some people might take five bags for a one-week trip. Some people might be able to do it on one. I can do it on one. Of course, the nice thing about it is my uniforms don't wrinkle that bad, so I can pretty much shove until it's all in there. I didn't tell you one. I probably ain't got it zipped a few times because it was stuffed so full. But when you're in a van, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to know. I'm not sure I'd want to take it to the airport with it unzipped like that. But anyway, we need to be prepared, okay? We know what is required for us to enjoy what we're going to do. But you know what? It's usually a pretty stressful time up to that point. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know we've all gone on vacations, and I'd like to see just one person tell me that the week before that vacation, they were stressed to the 100th degree, because there's always things to think about. I wonder why you even take vacations, because you spend a week worrying about it. You spend the last 2 days before the vacation fretting and trying to pack everything and get it put together, and then you get to the location, and then you got to worry about where to put it all, or am I going to have enough time to do it all? Why do we even do it to ourselves? And I guarantee you're going to get there and you're going to find out you left something. You know, you left the toothpaste or you left the socks. I've left the dress shoes at home before and had to wear tennis shoes at church. And when you're wearing a nice dress pair of pants and a white pair of tennis shoes, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. I've done it before. No way to cover it up. It's either that or wear ratty jeans, and I wasn't going to wear dirty jeans, so I wore my dress pants and white tennis shoes. The point being, we get as prepared as we can, but we're never completely prepared. We will never be completely prepared for when the Son of Man comes, but we spend our lives striving to be prepared, and we do that through what we hear in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We continue to add to our faith and to our virtue and to our patience and our temperance. We continue to add to all those things. There's a phrase that says, you need to prepare for any contingency. And I used to make a joke in saying, with the Fiorentines, every contingency is possible. So you can never be fully prepared for what the Fiorentines could go through on a vacation. Even at our house over here, you can't be fully prepared. But you can never be fully prepared for every contingency. But with Christ, He makes up the difference. Okay, I may not be perfect in my patience and in my temperance and in my virtues, but Christ helps me make up that difference so that He will allow me to be able to go through that door before it closes. In verse 1 of that 2 Peter tells us, or excuse me, verse 3, it tells us we are given, or excuse me, verse 4, we are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How much more positive can it be than to have somebody help us escape the troubles of this world? And God helps us do that. You know, when you go on a vacation, you know, let's see, kids, we can go to Boone, Iowa, or we can go to Disney World. Well, where do you think kids are going to go? It ain't going to be Boone, Iowa, because there ain't a lot in Boone, Iowa. One train track trestle, I guess, but, you know. So, we're given great and precious promises through Christ, but nothing in this earth is going to be better than what God offers us, and that's eternity with Him and His Son. And our journey is to be good because we have escaped the corruption of the world. And that's a hard thing, escaping the corruption of the world. But we try to do it on a daily basis. When you go somewhere, I'll use Tim and Melody. I don't care. They'll get mad at me anyway. Before they went to Lake 2 weeks ago, and me, I go take a vacation. My car goes the way it looks. You know, it may have mud on it from 3 weeks ago. I think Tim and Melody cleaned their cars up, and they washed them and had them all looking nice and shiny, which is a good thing. They're going on vacation. Let's change things up a little bit. Let's get away from the way it is every day. Let's change things up. You know, I think my family would probably freak out if I showed up at a vacation in Indianapolis with a shiny, clean car, because that just ain't the way Doug is. I mean, it ain't that hard to pull into a car wash and wash your car. But we tend to put on a better front when we're going someplace different, because we want people to think, okay, they're organized. They've got it together. Are you going to take the holiest jeans you have and the rattiest shirt you have, you go on vacation? Probably not, because I'm not going to show up at Disney World with a ratty, torn-up shirt and a pair of torn-up pants. I'm going to want people to think I want to be wanting to be near me, not be away from me because of the way I look. Well, I think that's the way that we as Christians are continually upgrading ourselves internally. We need to give diligence to growing, and it talks about that in those scriptures, to faith, to knowledge, to temperance, and to patience, and to godliness. And I might not have trouble with some of those things, but I can guarantee the temperance and the patience are ones I have a lot of trouble with. I have to work on a whole lot. But I have to be able to overcome my inner self and the temperance and patience problems I have in order to strive, move on to godliness, which leads to brotherly kindness and charity. And we need to do that because it tells us we will not be barren or unfruitful in our knowledge of Christ. And you know what? With diligence comes success. I'm not the same husband I was 30 years ago. I'm hoping Lisa thinks that. You know, 30 years ago I was a novice husband. You know, I was learning as I was going because I'd never been a husband before. 30 years later, I'm a husband of 30 years. I know how far I can push my wife. And that's usually not very far. But I know when I've gone past that point. So I'm not the same husband I was 30 years ago. I grew up. I've become a better husband. I'm not the same father I was 28 years ago or 27 years ago, whenever my 28, 29, whatever, my first daughter was born. My only daughter was born. I don't have more daughters running around. Not that I'm aware of, at least. No. My daughter was born. I was a novice parent at that point in time. But you know what? The door was open to me, and I had to decide how to proceed through that door. Was I going to run from that responsibility, or was I going to enjoy that responsibility? 30 years later, I have 4 pretty good kids and a couple of in-laws and a couple of grandkids, so I've done something right. But I wasn't that way 30 years ago. But and you know what? I'm not the same tech I was 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago, I could throw a compressor on my shoulders and climb up a ladder side of a building and help a guy get a compressor up on a roof. I ain't doing that today. I probably wouldn't be allowed to do it today. If I get to work right now and I go to pick up a box, I got 4 people running at me saying, "No, stop." And they don't want me tearing my shoulder up again. I'm hoping that's because they think I'm more valuable to them than laying at home in bed for 4 months, which is nice. But you know what? I learned some other things. I had my first experience using a Dremel tool the other day. I've never had a Dremel tool in my hand. You know, I've seen guys use Dremel tools. I've never had one in my hand. I'm back there grinding away on this piece. I had to make a little hole like this much bigger for a switch. Factory sends a switch out that's this big to fit in a hole that's this big. They can't buy switches this big anymore. I don't know why. So I had to cut this hole bigger. Well, my choices were a hacksaw, or my nippers and try to nip it, or use a Dremel tool. So I use a Dremel tool. First time I'd ever done that. 20 years ago, I'd have been scared to take a Dremel tool because I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna, you know, if my hand slips and I scratch something, I'm gonna be in trouble. I didn't care this time. I knew how I could cover it up. I've learned in 20 years how to cover up my mistakes. Okay, I got it done. This back being down there being used in Osceola right now, the piece of equipment I was working on. So I got it done. You know, sounds silly, but when I started there 20 years ago, if I had a bolt that sheared off or a screwdriver head I could get loose, I'd fight it and I'd fret over it and I'd call for help. Now I've realized that if I can get all but one of them loose, if I can take that piece of metal and move it a little bit, it breaks that screw loose, and I can take that screw the rest of the way out. I've taught myself these things. I've learned these things. Well, I think I'm a better Christian today than I was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whenever I was baptized, 45 years ago, whatever it was. I can tell you when it happened, but I can't tell you where it happened, the day it happened. I can tell you where it happened, but not the day it happened. It was on a Sunday, obviously. But I hope I'm a better Christian now than I was. But what makes me that better Christian is because I was diligent, and I continue to add to all those things in my life, my faith, my patience, my virtue, my godliness. But that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes once in a while, because I will make mistakes. What was brought about to me a little bit Friday, I was working with a gentleman, the same gentleman, and I've become pretty good friends with him. I wouldn't go hang out with him because he does things I don't do. But yet he asks me a lot of religious questions because he knows I'm religious. And he was asking me about translation, different translations of Bibles. And I was explaining him, you know, some of my thoughts on the different translations. And then we got into another topic, and I was giving him some of my opinions on that, or some of my ideas. And we had a pretty good conversation going for a while now. I don't know if it'll do any good for him or not, but you know, even as much as 10 years ago, I might have been a little uncomfortable doing that. But now I've learned a little bit more, and I understand a little bit more, but I'll never know everything. So I just do the best I can. But it's through Christ that I have that opportunity to do that. And how did I become that way? Because of what it tells me in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. I hope this is why I became that way. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How am I to prepare myself for final judgment and to make sure my life has been in check with God? I think I'd do it by that. They received the word with all readiness of mind, but then they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, you open up instructions that come with any piece of toy you buy or anything you buy. You might as well be our engineer or rocket scientist because they don't make them too easy to read. I opened up a box a while back and putting a filter system on. Opened this box up. American writing all over this box. Looked real pretty. I opened it up, got the instructions out of how to properly flush this thing. Written in German. Okay, so I looked down a little farther. I think it was Japanese. Flipped it over. I don't know what it was written in there. Had symbols and letters. Wasn't a lick of English written on this instruction anywhere. Okay, but because I've been doing this long enough, I understood what I needed to do and I was able to get it done. Well, I think I get that with Christ. If I study the scriptures, I will eventually come to an understanding of what I need to do. But I need to continue to study the scriptures. I just don't take it at face value. I'm hoping that after my discussion the other day, because this gentleman was bringing up his phone and he was bringing up scriptures and asking me about them, I hope maybe he went home and studied them a little bit more, because it sure made me think about it a little bit more, some of the things we talked about. But that's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to strengthen ourselves so we don't miss that final call. But we need to be more noble, and we need to be really ready to search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And that's a hard thing to do. I mean, I'll admit it, that's a hard thing for me to do, is search the scriptures daily, but I'm trying to do more and more of that as I go along. Because to be quite honest, when I was growing up, it wasn't a priority pointed out to me in my life that that's what I had to do. I mean, my priority was, I mean, my parents had 9 kids. Their priority was to get us out of the house so they could enjoy peace and quiet. So we spent our afternoons and our evenings playing with our friends across the street, football, you know, across 34th Street, having fun doing that, riding our bikes. It wasn't pointed out to me that I really needed to study the scriptures that much. And so it's taken me a while to come back into that, because that's not something you get away from real easily. Old habits are hard to break. Just ask my wife. I got a lot of old habits I ain't broke yet. Old habits are hard to break. But we do that by searching the scriptures daily, whether they should be so, these things were so. And how do we do that also? As we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's made me a better husband in the last than I was 30 years ago? It wasn't necessarily studying, but it was understanding the mistakes I made 30 years ago and growing from those. What made me a better technician? Understanding the things I did wrong 20 years ago. You know, I broke a lot of bolts off 20 years ago, or sheared a lot of heads off that I couldn't get back out and had to call for help. But nowadays, I don't call for as much help because I now know how to get bolts out. And with this Dremel tool, I'm going to have a whole lot of fun. I ain't going to bolt. I'm not going to get loose now. I'll be grinding and cutting and sawing and tearing up. But that's why I should be with my Christian life. I should be willing to grind and cut and saw and get rid of the things in my life that aren't good and bring in the things that are good. And I do that by studying to show myself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to be able to understand what the word of truth is telling me and use that in my life. I kind of like the scripture in Proverbs chapter 15. It has a lot of good points in it. I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is a joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth an answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. A scripture full of, if you've got God in your life, you'll be prosperous. You'll understand the good things. If you have self in your life, you will suffer and you will be in trouble. For every good thing that was mentioned here, because God was involved in it, there was a negative because man was involved in it. Self took over. God took a back seat to self. So we need to remember to keep God in the center of our lives, because there is a time when that door will be closed. And if we have put self before God, then we will have a rather dismal life to look forward to. There should be great fear if I find out that I have myself ahead of God. You know, the old saying, if God's your co-pilot, change seats. Well, God's got to be the pilot, because I'm not going to get where I need to be on my own. I have to get there with Him. Luke chapter 16, starting 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that would come from thence. But here's the story of the rich man Lazarus. I use this as an example in my mind because there was a door closed, was there not? Okay, these men were both alive on earth. One man had it all. The other man was suffering, longing for the food that would fall that the dogs would eat. But Lazarus wouldn't even drop a morsel to him. The rich man wouldn't even drop a morsel to him. Well, they both perished, passed away. The door closed. The judgment door closed. There was no turning back. And we find out that Lazarus went to be with Abraham, and the other man went into torment. The door was closed. There was no turning back. So much torment that even a little drop of water would have satisfied this man, he thought. But I doubt a little drop of water would have satisfied him. He just thought it would. But Abraham told him, it's not going to happen. You can't get from here to there. So we must always be ready for that time to come. You know, it's always hard to give a lesson because you don't want to be too negative about it. And I hope I wasn't too negative this morning. But I think we need to be aware that there is going to come a time. I keep telling people at work, I've been doing this 20 years. 15 years ago, I was a young pup. I was a guy walking around, okay, yeah, you need this done? Sure, I'll do it. I'll carry that compressor up the roof for you. I'm 54 years old now. I ain't carrying that compressor up the roof anymore. You're going to rent me a crane. Now I understand why the guys 15 years ago were renting cranes to take these compressors up to the roof, because I've learned. I've grown. But without learning and growing, I would be a miserable man at work because I would wear myself out. Well, the same way with our Christian life. We need to continue to learn and to grow. We need to know that things I knew 15 years ago might get me there, but I need to know things now, 20, 15 years later, that will help me to get there. You know, when I was baptized, that's all it required. I was baptized, I was saved. But yet, I've made a lot of mistakes in the last 40 years since I was baptized. I understand the mistakes I've made, and I understand I'll make mistakes tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. But you know what? If I have Christ in my life, and I have God in my body, if I have God in my mind, then all I have to do is ask for Him, for His forgiveness, and He will allow me to be back in. There is a final call coming, and it will come eventually. Nothing disturbs me more when I go to these meetings nowadays and I hear people talk about Tom Woody and some of the others that have gone on. Yes, they've gone on, but they're in a better place. I wish I were there. I will be there someday. But yet that should be a wake-up call to me that, yes, this life is fleeting. And yes, there are times when this life... Because I do a lot of stupid things. Why I haven't totaled my van 4 or 5 times and wrapped it around a tree or something is beyond me. Because I just do stupid things when I'm driving. You know, I'm invincible. I can work on my computer and I can talk on my phone and I can look at my radio. And, you know, that car, if there ain't going to stop, well, next thing you know, that car stops. And I got to try to get stopped before he does. Well, I need to remember that in my Christian life. You know, I get carried away. I think I can do everything. The devil's not going to get me. He's too far away. Well, the devil's right there, and he's going to grab me as soon as I lose my focus. But we always have Christ in our lives. We always have Christ there to recover us if we do fall. As we conclude this morning, we're asking to examine ourselves, and if we have not accepted Christ, we're given that opportunity to be baptized, have our sins washed away, and if we need to make amends for wrongs we've committed, we're given that opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.